Welcome to Liberty. We want to thank you for choosing to listen to this message today. We pray it will bless your life and that the Holy Spirit will give you revelation through God's Word. If you would like to know more about our ministry, please check out our website at lccdefenders.org.
All right, back to being a mom. It's hard, huh? So, I'm rejecting this whole mother thing. I'm having a hard time with it. I'm having a hard time with even liking myself as a mom. I feel like I suck at it. Like, I feel like I'm not great at loving and being tender, and I don't cook every night, and I don't give them baths every day. And, like, I'm really, you know, I'm really struggling as a mother for many years. I'm like, I am not good at this. Like, why does God keep calling me a mother? Because I'm struggling. And then I think, to top it all off, the hardest part about motherhood for me was how angry I felt all the time. I mean, I just felt so angry all the time. And I love my kids. I mean, they're amazing. But there was just something that I kept struggling with. I felt like I needed to overcome this weakness of anger, this weakness that I was like, I constantly felt like I wasn't enough, I wasn't good enough. And I felt like I had to, like, I need to overcome this. I need Jesus to fix me. I need to figure this out so that I could be a good mom. One day, I will be a good mom. I kind of like equated my anger and like my outbursts and my frustration with some of the things that were going on in my life. I equated it with sin. Like, that was sinful for me to feel that way. Like, something's wrong with me. Something's, like, generally wrong with me because I feel so angry all the time. Not all the time, but you know what I mean. It felt like all the time. Lord, would you just fix me? And then the Lord started to speak to me about anger. If you'll turn to Genesis 3, verse 15. I want to shed some light on that, ladies. And you know what? Men, too. Take it. Genesis 3:15. So this is God talking to the serpent who deceived Adam and Eve. And he found out that they sinned. They ate the fruit from the forbidden tree. And he is now having to give them their consequences because God is a just God, and that's what happens when you sin. So he is now giving the consequences to the serpent, and he says this to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, right off the bat, we know that this scripture, or I can tell you that the scripture is a foreshadow of Jesus. Jesus is going to come and wreck Satan's life, essentially, okay? But when God cursed Satan, Eve, who is a mother, became part of Satan's punishment. And all who came after her became a part of his judgment and punishment for what he did wrong. The word enmity actually indicates a blood feud, a fight that will continue through the blood, generation after generation after generation. So God is saying, I will never stop woman and her children from hating you. Enmity is hatred. It is like intense feuding. There will never be like a truce. There's no tolerance in it. There's none of that within that word. And this is where God started to speak to me about my own frustration and anger. So I'm going to share just three. There's, who knows, a lot of revelations that the Lord gave me about this, because I walked through this for years, just going before the Lord, Why do I feel like this? Why is this inside of me? Why am I so angry? What is wrong with me? Why won't you fix me? Why won't you fix me? Why won't you fix me? And I'm just going to share three quick ones, okay? Anger is not a sin, okay? God gets angry and he also hates. What we do with our anger matters, okay? This is where sin plays a part, especially in times when we feel out of control or pushed to the limit. What we do with anger determines whether we are sinning or whether we are not. Okay? Number two, anger is always present in the face of injustice. If you are watching someone get beat to death, you're going to feel angry. Okay? You should. That's part of injustice. It's like, that's the natural reaction. We see this in God. We see this in society. When something injustice or unjust happens, there is a huge amount of anger that wells up. Rightly so, because injustice is terrible. God does not use anger as a weapon to defeat sin, though. But anger is a great motivator to come up with plans and solutions for evil problems. God does not tolerate sin. I'm sorry. There is no ha-ha, just kidding. But no, he really does. No, actually, like, he doesn't. He hates it. And the reason why he hates it is because it rips us apart from him. God gets angry. And the third thing is feeling angry and hostile in wrongdoing is actually how we were designed. Because we were made in his image. Okay? So if you get angry, you struggled with anger, or you feel like you don't know how to control it, I just first want to take a load off your shoulders and tell you it's normal to feel angry. You're not broken. We just got to figure out where to put it. The thing that I want us to take away is that we have to learn how to direct our anger. Often we rage out on the people that we love the most, and then we feel like the scum of the earth, right? Crying in the corner for like 30 minutes. I can remember times of like screaming in like a one-year-old's face, and they're just like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I got, you know, being honest, I get angry. But here's the thing. Scripture teaches us we should be angry. We have an enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy every single thing that God has for us. We should be angry about that. When we go to prayer, we don't need the, you know, if you'd like to, Jesus, could you just, you know, bring joy to my family? No, we need to go in there declaring and decreeing what the Lord has for our families. I don't want my kids to grow up thinking that God doesn't love them. That makes me angry. I don't want my kids to grow up thinking I don't love them. That makes me angry. We have complete hostility towards the enemy, and there is no gray line. It's a blood feud. It's in our DNA, and it's part of Satan's curse. We are part of Satan's curse. Isn't that amazing? I want you to feel empowered right now. The way that the enemy is defeated, God put me in that plan. Mom, I want you to know that your anger is part of God's plan. Oh, I feel some wrestling. But you don't know what my anger does, but you don't know what it looks like, but you don't know. I understand. We make a lot of dumb choices with our anger. I get it. I've been there. I've been sitting in the box of shame. I get it. But did you know that it's part of God's plan for your life? You will never learn to use it wisely if you don't accept that he has a good plan. You'll never learn where to direct it if you don't understand that it's part of who God made you to be. And you will continue to shoot, just, I don't know any gun analogies. blindly, I guess. You'll just shoot blindly, just hoping you hit something. And most of the time, opening your eyes and realizing it was kind of devastating. But ladies, and men too, and mothers and fathers and everyone who feels anger and doesn't know what to do with it sometimes, instead of going before the Lord and saying, "Fix me," I want you to go before the Lord and say, "How do I use this? How do I use this? Because I'm using it improperly. How do I use this? Who is this for? Why do I feel this way? And what do I do with it?" Your husband or your wife is not your enemy. Stop spewing your anger at them. It's painful. Your kids are not your enemy, your boss, your coworkers, your siblings, your parents, the lady at the grocery store who asked you how far along you are, even though you're not pregnant, you just got a little food tummy. She's not your enemy, okay? Like, the people who cut you off, they're not your enemy. People are not our enemy. Ephesians 6:10, let's see who our enemy is and how we defeat our enemy. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." Put on the whole armor of God so you can stand against people. No. Every time I've read this, I legitimately thought this was about people. Because I get mad at people. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." It's literally the next sentence. "But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." All of our enemies outlined here are nothing we can see with our eyes. It's not flesh and blood. No matter what comes through flesh and blood, it's something bigger. It's something different. It's not that person. Our battle is not with people. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." Why? Because you can defeat the enemy's lies with truth. "And having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Why? Because he's going to keep accusing you that you're the old person that you used to be, but you're not. You now have the armor of God, and Jesus is your righteousness. "And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." Why can we spread the gospel? Because it's easy, because it's light, because it's freedom, and it brings peace to people. "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of your spouse." No. Come on. The truth be told is that sometimes we just don't know each other. Like, we're just ignorant sometimes. We say dumb things. Some of us are just hurt, and we just only know how to act out in hurt. No, extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. All those thoughts that come in your head, like when I was like, "I'm not going to share this message. This isn't nice enough." And the Lord was like, "That's a fiery dart from the devil. Don't listen." Okay. "And take the helmet of salvation," because you're saved and your mind needs to know it. And your mind needs to be covered. And you are saved, redeemed, healed, whole, and called according to God's plan. And your mind needs to follow. "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." Take that sword, the word of God, and attack everyone. right? Just beat people over the head with the word of God. No, actually, we're supposed to use the word of God against the enemy. The word of God is hope to people. The word of God is like a sword to the enemy. In prayer, you take the word of God over your children that says, your children will be blessed. My children will be blessed. Your children will honor you all the days of my children will honor me. That's the fight. It's in your prayer closet. That's the fight with the word, with the truth. But who's going to believe God? Who's actually going to stand and believe God and stand with his word in prayer in those times and see it come to pass? One day I had an encounter with the Lord. And he asked me to give him my weapon. And when in this encounter, my weapon was anger. And it was a really dope weapon, okay? It was really dope. Like, nobody could get past it. It was so good. But I realized that I had used anger as my belt, my shield, shield, belt, breastplate. I had used it for everything. Anger was covering me in all areas, and nothing could penetrate. And I was fighting everybody. And the Lord asked me to hand it over to him. Now, if the Lord asks you to hand something over, just like know he's going to give you something in return, because he never leaves us empty-handed. And it's kind of like the law of the kingdom is like this for that. I'll trade you. Like, I gave my son so I can get you. Like, there's always this trade happening. And so in this moment, like, I gave the Lord my anger, and I was like, here, I'm so angry, I'm so sorry. This is all in prayer, guys. And I knew that he was going to give me a different weapon. And so I was, like, pretty excited. I'm like, what's this going to look like? And it was, like, this huge, huge, like, has anybody played Soul Calibur? It was this huge, just one guy, my nerd husband. It was this huge Soul Calibur sword that, like, it, like, was so heavy, it, like, dug in the ground. Like, I couldn't lift it. I was, like, so scrawny. And I couldn't lift it without Jesus. Like, there was no way that I could use this sword without Jesus. And I asked the Lord, what did the sword represent? And he said, joy. I want joy to be your weapon. And I was like, how is that a weapon? That feels like joy is something that I react with. It's like a reaction. And the Lord started to teach me about joy, that it's actually a choice. That when you decide to believe something, like how Jesus looked at the cross, knowing what was coming, knowing the pain, knowing the anguish, but had joy because he knew what it was for. That is how God wanted me to use this new weapon. So laughter, lightheartedness, giggling, like fun, like the house is, everybody's angry, everybody's, you know, hitting the cabinets closed and grumpy, and get out of my way. And, you know, we get a lot of that in my house because there's so many of us that the Lord wants me to be like, hey guys, drop everything. We're going to go get ice cream. Like, you know how quick that diffuses the situation. Ice cream is like crazy good at changing the mood. I mean, and it seems so silly, but it just helps put things in perspective. And sometimes we just have the wrong perspective. Anger is a natural response to injustice, and sometimes everyone watching TV and leaving the dishes for you feels like injustice. Right? She knows. But we got to get wise, right? We got to ask ourselves, do I need anger in this moment? Should I toss this pan across the living room and just see what happens? Like, should I do that? Come on, don't judge me. I know you guys know what I'm talking about. Or maybe in this moment, I just need to communicate bravely. Hey, guys. Can we pause the TV? Because you know you could pause TV now. I just, like, this is crazy. You could just pause your TV. Can we pause the TV and just clean up this kitchen? It's going to take 5 minutes if three of us or four of us do it. That would make me feel loved and seen. I need that right now because I'm over here brewing in anger, and I don't want to be like that towards you guys. Anger is not the weapon towards our family. Anger is the weapon towards principalities of darkness. And the weapon is very sharp. Like, I don't know if you've ever yelled at a small child, but it hurts. Have you been a kid and been yelled at? Have you been the receiver of anger? I mean, it hurts. It can affect the way you even think about yourself. It can affect what you believe about God as a good dad. It's painful. Now, sometimes, like, the people in your life are kind of bringing in those principalities and darkness, but that's another topic. You just keep praying. But today on my heart, I really want to affirm everyone that your anger isn't something to actually fight against. It's something to learn how to equip and use against. God gave us anger so that we can fight our enemy and fight him well at that. Anger is intense. And I don't know if any of you have ever been in a intense prayer moment where you were just so angry and you just like had nothing left to lose and you just threw it all on the floor and then saw change. That has happened to me in a lot of situations in my life where I stopped trying to control everything and I just threw it all at the Lord and then things changed. We can draw closer to the Lord. We can pick joy with our family and anger with the enemy. We get to make that decision. It doesn't matter what people look like. It doesn't matter what they bring to you. The outside should not affect the inside. The inside is designed to honor and worship the Lord. Let you do that. Whatever other people are doing, they'll figure it out. You pray for them. But you walk in joy and peace that the Lord has put in your heart. Let's turn to Galatians 5, 16 through 24. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God? 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If what you're doing and how you're feeling brings dissension, it tears your family apart, it breaks relationships, it keeps you further from God, makes you feel ashamed, hidden, alone, feeling out of control, feeling like you don't know what to do with any of this, feeling like nobody can relate to you, depression, like I could go on and on about the story of God freeing me from depression. It had a lot to do with anger. It had a lot to do with these lies that I was believing. And if we're cultivating those fruits in our life, if every day it's an apology, a sorry, I can't handle this. I can't handle this. I don't know what to do. I'm out of control. Like, if that's your everyday fruit, you gotta stop and realize that that is not the Spirit at work. That is the flesh at work. And the easiest thing to do with your flesh is to lay it down. Like, I cannot put this in a simpler way because I think we overcomplicate this so much. If you are living by the flesh, simply take it to the Lord. God, I am living by the flesh, and I know that because these are my fruits. Forgive me, help me. That's it. That's it, literally. And then you'll watch it change as you continuously say, well, that was by the flesh too. Sorry about that. Oh, curse that guy out. Ooh, sorry, Lord, that was by the flesh. Help me live by the Spirit. I mean, it's literally just day by day, moment by moment, recognizing flesh, Spirit. Flesh, Spirit, sorting it, putting it in its compartments, and then learning to choose this more. I like the way this feels. Hey, I said sorry, and they forgave me, and then we went out to eat. That was really cool. I'm going to choose that next time. Don't be deceived. It's not, you know, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, or, you know, anger and fighting in the Spirit and being mad at that. No, it's both. You get to have both. You should live by the Spirit when you're walking with people. But when you're with your enemy, you should be killing him, okay? There should be no room, no wiggle room for anything that he wants to say or do. It's a no gray zone, like done, over. But with people, patience, kindness, gentleness, because you're war is not with them. Your war is with this. That's it. Can we all stand? I felt so much freedom in my life when I realized that I could actually figure out who was my neighbor and who was my enemy, and then I could act accordingly, that I could direct my anger somewhere. Sometimes when I'm with my kids and I feel very angry and frustrated, what I do is that I say, I'll be right back. I need a few minutes. And I literally go upstairs and I ask the Lord, why do I feel so angry? Because I know it's not about them. I know they didn't do anything. Okay, spilled milk, boo-hoo, who cares? What's the real issue? And the Lord will say, you're believing that you're a bad mom again. Oh, wow, I get so caught up in that lie. Forgive me, Lord. I'm not a bad mom. I just was in the other room when that milk happened. Someone spills milk, that doesn't make me a bad mom. That makes it an accident. Just take a minute. Just breathe. God, my kids know. Guys, I need 5 minutes. Like, I'm here. Okay, Mom, and I go, and then the Lord helps me. I mean, I can't tell you any other any bigger truth in my life than the Lord really helps me. So I want to do something a little bit different. If you struggle with anger and that anger makes you feel like you're a bad person, like you really feel very convicted about it. You really feel like something needs to change in my life because the wrong people are getting the effects of this. I want you to ask the person next to you to pray for you. It doesn't have to be like a fancy prayer. Don't get caught up in your head. Just put their hand on you and just bless you. It could be as simple as joy. I bless you with joy. That's it. Because I think that when we let our people in, And when we let our families in, things change because we can really be us. And then after that, if you want to come to the altar for prayer, that's fine. You can definitely do that. But I want you to know that the Lord wants to give wisdom and discernment to those who need it in this area. Woman, man, kid, whatever, whoever you are. But before you come up for prayer, I want you to ask your neighbor to pray for you. So close your eyes. This is the neighbor praying part, okay? And I'm going to pray, and if you're the neighbor, don't worry about what you have to say. Just let your heart, even if it's one word, just let your heart do the talking to the Lord. But right now, Lord, I thank you for my neighbor. I thank you that you have given them anger as a weapon against the enemy, but they are not sure how to use it in the right way. And I ask, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and discernment to direct their anger in the right place so that they can live in joy and peace and harmony with their neighbors, which is me. I know that the Lord has a special place for mothers today, but I want anyone who feels on their heart that the Lord just wants to cover you in encouragement. Just cover you in encouragement. Just speak a better word over you today. I just want to invite you to the front. Thank you, Lord. We invite you.